This is the story of a man with a brilliant mind who helped change the course of the world. But he wasn't driven by fame, status, or wealth. The source of his ambition was a tattered 5-cent postcard. Today's story is called Hurry Up.
Welcome to The Story. In this season of The Story, we highlight 8 individuals who underwent radical personal transformations to better serve themselves, their loved ones, and civilization. And now, on to the story.
A burst of red mist exploded from over his right shoulder. Joe's head spun around in time to see one of his soldiers reeling on the ground with his hands clasping his head. While screaming for a medic, Joe knelt down and pressed a bandage onto the young boy's head. The boy started convulsing. When Joe's eyes caught the boy's, he mouthed the words, "It's okay, it's okay." Within a minute, the boy's eyes were lifeless. A few seconds later, the medic arrived. Too late. Joe stared at the young, motionless boy whom he was supposed to protect. At 18, the young soldier had bled to death in a foreign country trying to stop a madman from taking over the world. With his hands covered in blood, Joe sank into the dirt and wondered whether he would end up the same way. Thoughts flashed across his mind about those back at home working to end the war. He still had faith that his brother's team would complete the project that was supposed to end the war, but time was running out for him and his men. In the evening, the fighting died down, and Joe's unit fell back into one of the nearby burned-out buildings. As the other men in his platoon bedded down for the night, the conversations started. "Why'd the youngest one of us have to die first? I wish I'd done things differently back at home." As all the conversations turned towards fear, uncertainty, and doubt, Joe interrupted. "You know my brother's working to put an end to the war, don't you?" One of the squad leaders snapped back, "Yeah, your brother's a genius, we know." Another squad leader chimed in, "Funny how he's doing that back in the States while we're out here getting torn apart." Joe caught himself before he said something he would regret and remained silent. There was no more vision of a brighter future. And as the old saying goes, where there is no vision, the people perish. The night grew darker. The cigarettes from the men in the platoon glowed in the darkness. Joe watched them as he pulled out his pen and the last postcard he had been saving. He lit a small lamp and stared at the postcard in front of him. He was unaware he had been crying until he began to write. He'd been saving the postcard for his wife, who was expecting their first child. But if his brother's efforts didn't pan out, his wife and child would never be safe. Darkness chilled the camp, and his kerosene lamp would have to be extinguished soon. He was tired, hungry, and now fully grasped that the men around him were giving up. Joe stared for a long time at the postcard. Finally, he wrote only 2 words. He didn't address it to his wife. Instead, he addressed it to his brother in Los Alamos. Then he dropped the letter into the mailbag, lay down, and blew out his lamp. A month later, and across the world, the young scientist arrived at his office and shuffled through the mail on his desk. A stained and battered postcard caught his eye. It was from his little brother, Joe. He smiled, looking at the picture of Italy. And as he turned it over, expecting a letter, his heart sank. Only 2 words were written on it. "Hurry up." He swore under his breath and pushed the other mail aside. For the next 2 months, the scientist became a force of nature. He was working with the other brightest scientists in the world to determine that a special bomb was possible, and they believed that creating it first would end the war. Soon, his enthusiasm and obsession spread to the rest of the team at the lab. They came alive, and the project to end the war surged forward. At the start of each day, the scientist looked at that battered postcard on his bulletin board and those 2 compelling words. At the end of each day, he forced himself to look at the postcard again. He didn't want fatigue to slow his efforts. As summer faded into fall, the scientist arrived one morning to find a letter from the Army Chaplain Corps. He hesitated before opening it and thought, it could be something else. It doesn't mean that... He gently slid open the envelope and read the letter. His brother Joe had been shot and had bled to death in a foxhole in Italy. The genius inside the scientist's mind was now a maelstrom. It was something beyond vengeance. He thought of Joe's wife, Mary, and their young daughter. Tears streamed down his cheeks, and when they subsided, he did the only thing he could do. He went back to work. The scientist's drive now wasn't about just building a bomb for revenge. It was about some type of horrible cosmic justice over fate, time, distance, dimensionality, and tyrants. His drive now was about permanently mastering everything in the material universe. For the next 10 months, the scientist and the entire team at the project became even more aggressive. Each of the men and women at the lab were well aware that every day that they sat in the comfort of their offices, more people died. There weren't any spaces to hide from the horrors of tyrants that wanted you dead. The next year, in the heat of August, the team watched a demonstration test of the new bomb, the bomb that could force tyrants and rogue nations back into order. The scientist's boss, who was also the project director, recited a quote from the Bhagavad Gita to everyone watching the test. He read, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." Those words proved more prophetic than could have been imagined. The test was successful. The team felt the solemnity of what they had created as the first mushroom cloud rose from the desert. To end the war, Allied forces chose to use the atom bomb developed by the scientists' team, which was also known as the Manhattan Project. The Manhattan Project was developed in response to a letter received in 1938 by President Franklin D. Roosevelt from Albert Einstein and Leo Szilard, warning him that Germany might try to develop an atomic bomb. FDR created the Uranium Committee, which consisted of a group of top scientific and military experts to determine the possibility of a nuclear chain reaction. And the young scientist, who was part of the Manhattan Project and was driven by the tear-stained postcard he'd received from his little brother, was John Wheeler. John accepted full responsibility for the death of his brother and knew he could have done more to stop it. He wasn't afraid of taking radical agency. He wrote the following words in his journal. "One cannot escape the conclusion that an atomic bomb program started a year earlier and concluded a year sooner would have spared 15 million lives, my brother Joe's among them. I could, probably, have influenced the decision makers if I had tried." His work didn't stop when the war ended. Wheeler returned to physics and engineering. He devoted himself to ensure that all the lives lost would not be remembered as mere statistics, but that they would be remembered as individuals who would be avenged. Back home, John Wheeler would go on to teach the first course at Princeton on general relativity. He would discover the mathematics that proved things like wormholes, black holes, and quantum foam existed. John is also the one that coined those terms. He taught and mentored more than a dozen other physicists, including Kip Thorne and Richard Feynman. His work even inspired Stephen Hawking. John's life was a testament to taking radical responsibility for everything around him. His life's work is a reminder that we all face tragedy and sacrifices in life, and each of us will have to ensure that they are not in vain. The rage that comes from our greatest losses and challenges can tear us apart with angst. It can cause us to unconsciously sabotage our projects for our entire life. Or we can harness that rage with an agency so radical that we transform the present. And who knows, maybe in doing so, we'll rewrite the past and create a better future. All setbacks and losses can become energy to be channeled into our projects to prevent future suffering and loss. Life is hard and filled with suffering. Those are guarantees. But if we refuse to accept them and insist on forcing those experiences to serve us, like harnessing the power of the atom, they will provide us energies for great feats of achievement. There is always the next battle, plague, injustice, asteroid, cyber attack, or war that threatens countless lives. We can kick back and assume that someone else will solve all of these challenges, or we can challenge ourselves with two simple words: hurry up. That's his story. What's yours going to be?
The Story is brought to you exclusively by Salesforce, the world's number one customer relationship management platform. More than 150,000 businesses are using Salesforce to blaze their own trails to success. You can learn more at salesforce.com. The Story is created by our team at mission.org, a media company and podcast network.